Hey man, it's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting for this month, and I'd like to thank everybody for coming out and just getting involved. And we just, Karen and I are just so appreciative that you come out and, you know, you're faithful, and, you know, faithfulness is very, very important to God. If you can't be faithful in small things, then you'll never, ever be faithful in big things, and God knows that, believe me, amen. Well, tonight I'd like to go ahead and I would start a new teaching, and it's going to be a series of teachings, because I'm utterly convinced. Now, I've been to 89 countries of the world, and I've just been church after church and in the States and everywhere, but I am utterly convinced today that most Christians have no clue of what happens when they truly ask Christ to come into their inside of them, into their lives, and rule and reign as Lord over their life. I'm just convinced. Most Christians have no idea what the word redemption means, and what the word justification means, and what the word sanctification means. They just don't have a clue. Now, this teaching that I'm going to start today will sound foreign and strange, because it is not taught in most churches. But in your heart, now listen, in your heart, you will know that it's true, because that's kind of the way truth is. When we hear truth, it hits us in our spirit, and we know it's true. It's just something that's, wow, that's true. And so I hope that's going to be your experience as you open up your spirit and allow the truth of this teaching to go ahead and hit you. Now, most Christians, after they give their heart to the Lord, they get busy trying to please God by doing things for Him, and instead of becoming something in Him. Let me say that again. Most Christians, they want to do something for God. Well, that's not what God wants. God wants us to become something in Him. And so they miss out on the work that God has done, and the work that God has done is the redemption and the justification. They miss all of that. They don't have an understanding of that. And then they also miss out on what God is doing in them. And that, of course, is the sanctification part. So this series is going to cover redemption or salvation. It's going to cover justification. And it's going to go ahead and also cover sanctification and different nights. And so tonight, what I'd like to do, I'd like to introduce this this series. And the series is called All Things Are Out From God. All Things Are Out From God. And so if you have your Bibles, just go ahead and go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And of course, we have that in our notes right there. So 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, this is tonight is going to be an intro, and so it's going to really lay a lot of the foundation for our understanding. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, now, Paul writes to the church at Corinth and to us. Now, the first word there is very important. It's therefore. Now, the word therefore all throughout the Bible means what for? Therefore, well, what is what is previously said? Everything previously said in 2 Corinthians, because of all of that, now, therefore, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, the word behold there means stop, look, and listen. But all things are become new. Wow, 2 Corinthians 5:17. In the Greek, it actually reads, behold, all things are out from God. All things are out from God, which is going to be the title of the series, and which is so true, because all things are out from God. Amen? Yeah. It's true. All things, God makes all things. I mean, you know, we could see that God is responsible for everything, so all things are out from God. As I was putting this together, I was thinking of 2 Corinthians, and then I know of 1 Corinthians, that the church in Corinth was just a disaster. It was terrible. It was there's no way that, you know, this church was going to make it. I mean, they were just sinners, and, you know, hey, like us. But anyways, there's a 2 Corinthians. And so because of the 1 Corinthian church, they got it. They got the message that Paul was sharing with them. And so there is a 2 Corinthians letter. And so we just thank God for that. You know, I was talking to my teacher, Charles Hahn, one day, and I said, I asked him, I said, you know, why didn't God just smite the church in 1 Corinthians and just, you know, just straighten them out, or just wipe them out? And Charles said this, and I've never forgot it, there has to be something moving for correction to come. And so God just couldn't wipe out that church in Corinth. God allowed all of that stuff to happen. And then so something had to be moving, even if it wasn't correct 100%, but it was moving so that a Paul could come in and so correction can come in. So that's kind of like a just a little bit of background of what I would like to share. In this passage, we find a description of Christianity, or what constitutes a Christian. So when someone says, what's a Christian? Then this is the answer. A Christian is someone who is in Christ. That's the answer of what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who is in Christ. Or as Paul says in 1 Colossians 1:27, Christianity is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So a Christian is someone that's in Christ, and Christianity is Christ in you, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, or us in Christ. This is Christianity. And a Christian, and if we are in Christ, then we are new creatures. We are new creations. Mm-hmm. Now, a Christian is not one who, you know, who repeats the sinner's prayer. There's no such thing as the sinner's prayer in the Bible. A Christian is not someone that walks the aisle. A Christian is not someone that does good works all the time. And, you know, they said, well, you know, yes, we're going to, you know, if you're really born again and you're walking with the Lord, then you're going to do good works. But it's not our good works that makes us a Christian. Our good works comes out of being a Christian. Our good works comes out of being in Christ. Now, how is Christ in us? Or you know, how are we in Christ? So Paul writes this, he that is joined to the Lord is one, or one with him. Now that word join right there is cemented. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we really mean it, believe it or not, we are, our spirit is joined. It is cemented with the Lord, with Jesus' spirit. That's what makes us a Christian, and that's in First Corinthians 6:17. Salvation takes place when the Lord joins us to himself. Say that again. Salvation in our life happens. Redemption in our life happens when the Lord himself joins us to himself, and he makes us one spirit with himself. Amen. That is what salvation, that is the nuts and bolts of salvation. Paul elsewhere describes this joining as being baptized into Christ. Who has Romans 6, 3 and 5?
I do. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Wow, that's good. Amen. Thank you very much, Kathleen. Mm-hmm. So Paul says that we are planted not into his life, but we're planted into his death. And thus, if we're planted into his death, then we will be raised in newness of life in the resurrection. Wow. Christ is in us through the joining of our human spirit to himself through the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow. Now, I'll tell you right now, the church is full of such people. But most people in the church are religious and they're lost. Wow. You know, I always said that the biggest mission field is not Africa, it's not Asia, it's not, you know, Europe. You know, yes, there's a lot of people in these places that need the Lord, but the biggest mission field in the world is the church today. There's people that sit on the pews and all of their life, and they think there's a family plan. Well, mom and daddy's been in, you know, Christians, and they're in heaven, and, you know, I'm going to go to heaven because they were Christians, and, you know, no. The church is full of religious people. They are religious, but they're lost. Wow. And essential to seeing about this joining is that we are not generally given things from the Lord aside from or added to the Christ. Now, we need to really open up our spirit here and understand what I'm saying. For example, we are not given a thing called salvation because of Christ. Oh no. We are given all things in Christ. We are given all things in Christ. We are joined to Jesus Christ himself, in whom there is all life. We are joined to Christ, with him in all life. Much difficulty in the Christian life arises from trying to get things from God instead of receiving and living out from the Christ in whom are all things. Wow. Wow. Many are taught in churches today that, that we have to do things, for God to give us things. But that's not true. When we first get saved and our spirit is joined with the Spirit of Christ, we have all things. God has given us everything that we need to serve him. We have all things. Wow. God has wrapped up all things in his Son, and he has freely given all things in him. Who is Romans 8:32?
Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Wow, so God has given us all things through his Son. Christ in you, hope of glory. Wow, what is a Christian? Christ in you. Wow. So God has given us all things through his Son. Thus there is nothing that God has for us except that it be found in his Son. So we cannot receive the things of God except we receive Christ, in whom is all things. The fact that God is sometimes merciful to bless people aside from what is in Christ does not diminish this truth. Who has Psalms 37:1-2?
I do.
Okay, please read.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb.
Right, now these people are outside of Christ, they're sinners, but they're doing well and they're being successful, and we must not be angry. We must not, look at this person here. No. They will be cut down in due time. Who has Proverbs 24:19?
I do.
Oh, okay, Kathleen.
Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked.
That's right. Many Christians, they see the wicked people and non-Christians prosper and stuff like that, and they fret and they complain. Well, don't be like that. Don't worry. Their time is coming, and so is your time if you go ahead and you stay in Christ. Everything that we get from God comes to us via his Son. Wow.
Right.
Everything we get from God comes to us from his Son, Jesus Christ. Even our redemption. Boy, I hope the people that's listening on the on the internet is getting this, and everybody's getting that tonight. So all things are in Christ, and if is the most important word of the Bible. If we are in Christ and Christ is in us, then we have all things. Wow. If we are in Christ and Christ is in us, God has given it to us. We just read that in Romans 6:32. God has given us all things through his Son. Wow. Now what this ought to tell us is that if we are joined to the Lord, we have Christ, all that God has, indeed all that God is. The goal at this point is not to receive more from God or other things, and it's not to obtain more experiences. Oh no. The purpose of God, once we are saved, is that Christ be formed in us. That is the goal, to be formed, have Christ formed in us. Who has Galatians 4:19?
I do.
Okay.
My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you.
Wow. Till Christ be formed in you. Wow. That is the purpose of God once we are saved. And that we be formed together with him. Formed together with him. Christ formed, to be formed in us. And then we be developed with him. Who has Romans 8:29? Romans
8:29. I do.
Okay.
For whom he foreknew, he also predestined.
Yes.
To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Wow, how about that? So we are to be conformed, and that conforming, and we're going to talk about forming and conforming here at the end, but here in Romans 8:28, this is God's desire that we be, that Christ be formed in us, and that we be conformed as we grow together. If that is happening, then all of this is in Christ will likewise come into our experience. And so if Christ is being formed in us and we are being developed, then all things and all experiences will come out of that. Christian growth or sanctification is never the result of getting more of Christ. Well, I know a lot of people would fight me over that, but I'm going to say it again. Christian growth or sanctification is never the result of getting more of Christ. Rather, it is a matter of the Christ that we have already received being made manifest in and through us. Oh, wow. It is the Christ that we've already received when we gave our heart to the Lord, and our spirit is joined with the Spirit of Christ in us. And so we've already received Christ. We received everything. Receive being made, and then what we have is being made manifest in us and out to the world. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Now, this is not a new doctrine, oh no, or a new teaching. But what the Bible really says, and we're looking at it by verses. And why does it sound new? It sounds new because this is not taught in most churches. Because most churches, they have their own textbooks and their own books and their own doctrines and agendas that they want to push. But this is really the nuts and bolts. And again, this is an introduction, of the foundational truths. Paul writes this in Colossians 1:29-31, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him, of you that are in Christ Jesus. Wow, let me say that again. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Now this is what God has made Christ to us. Has made Christ us our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. That was 1 Corinthians 1:29-31. So Christ is our wisdom. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our sanctification. Christ is our redemption. If we are in Christ and Christ is in us. If not, then we are only dead men and women walking. Let me say that again. If Christ is not in us and we are not in Christ, then we are just dead men and women walking.
Right.
This brings us back to our passage from 2 Corinthians 5:17. You will note that in our joining to the Lord, that makes us a new creation. What makes us a new creation is us being joined to the Lord. We're actually God, through His Spirit, so joins us, our spirit, David's spirit, with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You also note that everything that is of the new creation is, well, it's new. And just as importantly, all of this newness that constitutes the new creation comes from God. All things are out from God. Again, the Greek actually reads, and all things that would be that constitutes that new creation that we are out from God.
Amen.
Now, when we truly believe in Jesus, God joins, he cements our spirit with Jesus' spirit. That is just an amazing fact. Most Christians do not know that happens. But when we really become saved, when we're convinced, then our spirit is actually cemented and joined together with Jesus. That's what makes us that new creation. So what we have is this then. When we are joined to the Lord and become one with him in spirit, what is birth is a new creation in Jesus Christ. We become one with Christ in both his death and his resurrection. All things are passed away through his death, and all things have become new. Now, note that we do not bring anything new into this relationship. No, we don't. Christ brings it all and is our all and in all to us in this spiritual joining. There's nothing that we can bring into this relationship. That is why Paul says all things are out of God. In contrast, nothing new is out of us. We have nothing in us, in our flesh. We have nothing in us that can save us. Nothing. Man is carnal flesh and only carnal flesh. John 3:6 says, that which is spirit, and that which is flesh, and man is nothing but flesh. We have nothing in us to bring into this relationship with the Lord. Amen? A Christian is one who has been joined to the Lord, made one with Him, and thus has received all that Christ is and all that Christ has done. Despite the fact that it will take a lifetime and more for Christ to be unfolded and experienced, it still does not negate the fact that we have already received all things freely in Christ. When we become a Christian, we really truly believe and our spirit is joined with Jesus' spirit, and we have received all things in Christ. The Bible tells us that, Romans 6:32. Our joining to the Lord not only births a new creature, but immediately negates the old. All that we are in Adam, wow, the natural flesh, the old Adam life is now under the work of the cross. It has no place in the new creature. Wow. It is passing away. Wow. It is passing away. All must come to the cross. Now, the cross I'm talking about is not the cross that Jesus impaled, was nailed to. That's not the cross that I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about the cross that people wear around their neck and all of the jewelry crosses. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the work that Christ did on the cross that He died. That is the cross that I'm talking about. We all must come to the cross to be saved. Not the altar, no. The altar is a place for sacrifice. I don't know why churches want to get everybody to the altar. Everyone come down to the altar and pray. No, that's not what the altar is for. The cross is where you need to pray. The altar is the place of sacrifice. I can remember growing up, people would say, I'm going to grab the horn of the altar, brother, and give your heart to the Lord. Well, no. The altar is the place where sacrifice happens. The cross is the place where we come for redemption. Amen? Now these last two points are very, very critical, and we really need to get a real good, strong hold of this. Now, notice that a Christian is not one who is made to look like Jesus. Wow. I know that a lot of people would fight me over this one too. That a Christian is not one who is made to look like Jesus or merely act like Jesus by following certain principles. Oh no. That is not sanctification. Rather, a Christian now is one who is joined to the Lord and through whom Jesus Himself wants to live. You see the difference? I'm going to follow these rules and I'm going to act and, like Jesus. No. No, a Christian is one who is joined to the Lord and through whom Jesus Himself wants to live. When Paul said, Christ, who is our life, in Colossians 3:4, he was pointing to the fact that not that Christ has given us a life to live for Him, but that He is our life. Christ is our life. We live in and out from Him. Wow. He is our life. And He wants to live in and through us and out to the world. Boy, what a tremendous point. Most people think that God wants us to look like His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, He does. But no, that's not, yes and no. And we'll look at that in the next point. Amen. God is not trying to make Christians into little Xerox copies of Jesus. No, He's not. Rather, He wants each of us to manifest through us the Christ who dwells in us and to be a living evidence of the fact that we are joined to Him. Now, you really need to open up your spirit here. You really, really need to open up your spirit and understand what's being said here. So to live in the power and the might of Christ and the Spirit, we must come to know these last two points very, very well. That Christ is our life. He just doesn't give us life to live. Oh no, He is our life. Do you see that point? He doesn't give us life. He is our life, and we live in Him and out from Him. Wow. And that last point is God is not making us little Xerox copies of Jesus. Oh no. Because to live in the power of Christ and the Spirit, we must come to know those two points. Now, there is a huge difference between conforming and forming. And I said we would look at this again. There's a huge difference between conforming and forming. Conforming is changing something within to look like something else. That is a conforming, where we change something inside of us to look like someone else. And I'll give you an example here. Changing apples to oranges, right? So most Christians think that God is going to take our flesh and change our bad flesh into something good so that we could serve Him. Well, no, that's not true. God wants to kill our flesh. God wants to kill our flesh, and He wants to go ahead and give us Christ. And as our flesh dies, then we're going to have more and more of Christ. So that's conforming. Forming is adding something new. We are new creatures. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. So adding something new when our spirit is joined together with Christ within and developing it. That is a forming. Adding something new within and developing it. An example, God giving us oranges. Not taking us and changing our bad apples into good oranges, but He just kills our apples and gives us oranges. Now that, my friend, is Christianity. Now that, my friend, is Christ in you, hope of glory. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your love and Your many mercies, Father, Lord. Lord, I ask You to just take this teaching, Father, Lord God, and just work it into our lives, and Father, Lord, understand what's really happened when we become a Christian, Father, Lord God. Most Christians don't understand. They then they struggle and they don't understand why things aren't working out for them. Well, they need to have that understanding of what really happens, because that will hold them when tough things come, Father, Lord. Thank You for Your Spirit, Father, Lord. Thank You for joining us, Father, Lord, each and every one of us with You, Father, Lord. And we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord God. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.